A couple of years ago, I was asked to address the issue of whether the 21st century was going to be the Asian century. It seems to me that this is a very interesting question, and the source of the origin of the question, why we pose it in the first place, has to do with the growth performance of the Asian countries during the past half century. Let me tell you what I mean. Let me give you some examples, which I'm sure are well known to most of you. If you look at Korea, for instance, at GDP per capita, in 1975 it was about $3,800. By 2008, it had risen to $25,000, an increase of about 6.5 times. If you look at the corresponding data for Singapore and Taiwan, you get a broadly similar story. Compare that with Brazil, which in 1975 was $5,500, and by 2008 had risen to something like $9,500, not quite a twofold increase over a 33-year period. If you look at data on the growth of GDP per capita for the global economy, in the second half of the 20th century, it averaged 2.1%. Whereas if you look at the data for Asia, the growth rate was much higher. It was 3.5%. If you focus your attention on India and China over the last 15 years, you will see that India has averaged a growth rate of close to 6%, which means that the Indian economy has roughly doubled, whereas China's growth rate has been closer to 9%. In other words, the Chinese economy has nearly tripled. Of course, one aspect of the growth story in Asia has been the very rapid reductions in world poverty. China and India account for more than 100% of the reduction in extreme poverty during the past 20 years. If you look, for instance, at a poverty line of $1.50 per day, between 1980 and the year 2000, the global reduction in extreme poverty was in excess of 830 million people. But if you actually look at East Asia and South China, which include both China and India, this reduction was actually in excess of 1 billion people. In other words, India and China accounted for more than 100% of the total reduction in extreme poverty, because extreme poverty has gone up in other parts of the world, such as Africa. To come back to the question of whether the 21st century is going to be the Asian century, I'd like to suggest that there are at least two perspectives on this question. The first one is basically the perspective of the average man and women in the streets of especially India and China, which account for 2.4 billion people, or 40% of the world's population. And the issues here are, what is the starting point for these countries? What is their stage of development? What challenges do these countries face in coming years? And are their citizens likely to be better off? Will the huge gap which presently exists in per capita income with respect to the developed world have narrowed? The other question, or the other perspective on the issue of whether the 21st century will be the Asian century, is basically the perspective of the rest of the world. The answers to the first set of questions matter greatly to the citizens of Italy, Mexico, and Brazil, who compete in the world markets with Chinese manufacturing and Indian pharmaceuticals and software engineers. What I'd like to do in the balance of this presentation is I'd like to focus on China and India and the challenges that they face in coming years. To the extent that they meet these challenges and are able to address some of the weaknesses which I will identify, then it could well be that the 21st century will indeed be the Asian century, at least in terms of the presence of the Asian economies in the global economy.